For me, I couldn't let Maxon think of me that way. Would you ever pick her? Celeste, I mean? He came to sit beside me, making his moves carefully. I couldn't imagine how much his back was hurting him.
If I had to, I'd take her over Elise or Natalie. But that won't happen unless Chris decides she wants to go.
I nodded. Chris is a good choice. She'd make a much better princess than I ever would have. He chuckled.
She is less of an instigator. Lord knows what would happen to the country with you at the helm.
I laughed along because he was right. I'd probably ruin it. Maxon continued to smile when he spoke.
But maybe it needs ruining.
We sat there in silence for a little while. I wondered what our world would look like ruined. We couldn't get rid of the royal family. How could we possibly transition it out? But maybe we could change the way some things were run. Offices could be elected instead of inherited, and the castes. I really would love to see those dead and gone.
Would you indulge me?
Maxon asked. What do you mean?
Well, I've shared a lot of things with you tonight that are very difficult for me to admit. I was wondering if you could answer one question for me.
His face was so sincere, I didn't want to deny him. I hoped I wouldn't regret whatever this was about. But he had been more honest than I deserved at this point.
Yes, anything.
He swallowed.
Did you ever love me?
Maxon looked into my eyes, and I wondered if he could see it there. All the emotions I'd fought because I thought he was something he wasn't. All the feelings I never wanted to put a name on. I ducked my head. I know that when I thought you were responsible for hurting Marley, it crushed me. Not just because it happened, but because I didn't want to think of you as that kind of person. I know that when you talk about Chris or when I think about you kissing Celeste, I'm so jealous I can hardly breathe. And I know that when we talked on Halloween, I was thinking about our future. And I was happy. I know if you had asked, I would have said yes. Those last words were a whisper, almost too difficult to think about. I also know that I never knew how to feel about you dating other people or being a prince. Even with everything you told me tonight, I think there are pieces of yourself that you will always guard. But with all that, I nodded. I couldn't say the words aloud. If I did, how would I be able to leave?
Thank you, he whispered. At least I can know for certain that for one brief moment of our time together, you and I felt the same thing.
My eyes stung, threatening to spill over with more tears. He'd never actually told me he loved me, and he wasn't exactly saying it now. But the words were so, so very close. I've been so foolish, I said, my breath catching. I'd fought hard against the tears, but I couldn't anymore. I kept letting the crown scare me out of wanting you. I told myself that you didn't really matter to me. I kept thinking that you had lied to me or tricked me, that you didn't trust me or care about me enough. I let myself believe that I wasn't important to you. I stared at his handsome face. One look at your back says you'd do damn near anything for me. And I threw it away. I just threw it away. He opened his arms and I fell into them. Maxon held me silently, running his hands through my hair. I wished I could erase everything else and hold on to this moment, this brief second, when he and I knew how much we meant to each other.
Please don't cry, darling. I'd spare you tears for the rest of your life if I could.
My breathing was uneven as I spoke. I'll never see you again. It's all my fault. He held me closer.
No, I should have been more open.
I should have been more patient.
I should have proposed to you that night in your room.
I should have let you. He chuckled. I looked up at his face, unsure of how many more of his smiles I'd have. Maxon's fingers swept away the tears from my cheeks, and he sat there gazing into my eyes. I did the same to him, wanting to remember this so badly.
America. I don't know how much time we have left together, but I don't want to spend it regretting things we didn't do.
Me either. I turned my face into his palm, kissing it. Then I kissed the tips of each of his fingers. He slid that hand deep into my hair and pulled my lips to his. I had missed these kisses, so quiet, so sure. I knew that in my whole life, if I married Aspen or someone else, no one would ever make me feel this way. It wasn't like I made his world better. It was like I was his world. It wasn't some explosion. It wasn't fireworks. It was a fire, burning slowly from the inside out. We shifted, sliding so I was on the floor, and Maxim was above me. He ran his nose along my jawline, down my neck, across my shoulder, and kissed the same path back to my lips. I kept running my fingers through his hair. It was so soft it almost tickled my palms. After a while, we pulled out the blankets and built a makeshift bed. He held me for the longest time, looking into my eyes. We could have spent years doing this, if not for me. Once Maxon's shirt was dry, he put it on, covering the dried stains with his coat, and curled up next to me again. When we both got tired, we started talking. I didn't want to sleep through a second of this, and I sensed he didn't either.
Do you think you'll go back to him? Your ex?
I didn't want to talk about Aspen right now, but I considered this. He's a good choice. Smart, brave. Maybe the only person on the planet more stubborn than me. Maxon laughed lightly. My eyes were closed, but I kept talking. It would be a while before I could think about that, though. The silence stretched. Maxon rubbed his thumb along the hand he was holding.
Could I write you?
He asked. I thought about that. Maybe you should wait a few months. You might not even miss me. He gave an almost laugh. If you do write, you have to tell Chris.
You're right.
He didn't clarify whether that meant he would tell her or simply not write me, but I didn't really want to know at the moment. I couldn't believe that all this was happening because of a stupid book. I gasped, and my eyes shot open. A book? Maxon, what if the Northern Rebels are looking for the diaries? He shifted, still not quite alert.
What do you mean?
When I was chased that day in the gardens, I saw them as they passed me. A girl dropped a bag full of books. The guy with her had bunches, too. They're stealing books. What if they're looking for a specific one? Maxon opened his eyes, squinting in thought.
America. Exactly what was in that diary?
A lot. About how Gregory basically stole the country. How he forced the castes on people. It was awful, Maxon.
But the report was cut off, he insisted. Even if that is what they're looking for, there's no way they could know that was it or what's inside it. Trust me, after that little display, my father is making sure those things are even more protected than usual.
That's it. I covered my face, stifling a yawn. I know it.
Don't, he said. Don't get worked up. For all we know, they just really, really like to read.
I seriously thought I couldn't make this any worse.
Shh,
he said, coming closer. His strong arms grounded me to the earth.
Don't worry now. You should probably sleep.
But I don't want to, I whispered, though I curled closer into him. Maxon closed his eyes again, still holding on to me.
Me either. Even on a good day, sleeping makes me nervous.
It made my heart ache. I couldn't imagine his constant state of worry, especially considering that the person keeping him on edge was his own father. He let go of my hand and reached into his pocket. My eyelids parted a bit, but he was doing all this with his eyes closed. We were both so close to sleep. He found my hand again and started tying something on my wrist. I recognized the feeling of the bracelet he got me in New Asia as it slid into place.
I've been carrying it in my pocket. I'm a pitiful romantic, right? I was going to keep it, but I want you to have something from me.
He'd put the bracelet on over Aspen's, and I felt the button pressing into my skin underneath it.
Thank you. It makes me happy.
Then I'm happy too.
We didn't say anything else. Chapter 30. The sound of the creaking door woke me, and the light streaming in was so bright I had to block my eyes.
Your Majesty? Someone asked.
Oh God, I found him! He screamed. He's alive!
There was a sudden flurry around us as guards and butlers stormed to our location.
Were you not able to get downstairs, Your Majesty?
One of the guards asked. I looked at his name. Markson. I wasn't sure, but he seemed to be one of the higher-ups in the guard.
No, an officer was supposed to tell my parents. I told him to go there first,
Maxon explained, trying to straighten his hair. Only once did his face give away that the movement pained him.
Which officer?
Maxon sighed.
I didn't get his name.
He looked to me for confirmation. Me either, but he was wearing a ring on his thumb. It was gray like pewter or something. Officer Markson nodded.
That was Tanner. He didn't make it. We lost about 25 of the guards and a dozen staff.
What?
I covered my mouth. Aspen. I prayed that he was safe. I'd been so consumed last night, it hadn't occurred to me to worry.
What about my parents, the other elite? All fine, sir. Your mother has been hysterical, though. Is she out yet?
We started moving, Maxon leading the way.
Everyone is. We missed a few of the small safe rooms and we're doing a second sweep, hoping to find you and Lady America.
Oh, God, Maxon said.
I'll go to her first.
But then he stopped dead in his tracks. I followed his eyes and saw the destruction. That same line, the one from last time, was scrawled across the wall. We're coming. Over and over, by any means they could find, the warning covered the halls. Beyond that, the level of destruction was elevated yet again. I'd never seen what the rebels managed to do to the first floor, only to the hallways near my room. Huge stains in the carpet announced where someone, perhaps a helpless maid or fearless guard, had died. Windows were shattered, leaving jagged teeth of glass in their place. Lights were broken, some flickering as they refused to give up. Terrifyingly, there were massive gouges in the walls, and it made me wonder if they had seen people going into the safe rooms, if they had been hunting. How close were Maxon and I to death last night?
Miss?
A guard said, bringing me back to the moment.
We've taken the liberty of contacting all the families. It appears the attack on Lady Natalie's family was a direct attempt to end this election. They're targeting your relatives to get you to leave.
I covered my mouth. No.
We're already sending palace guards out to protect them. The king was adamant that none of the girls should go. What if they want to?
Maxon challenged.
We can't hold them here against their will. Of course, sir. You'll need to speak with the king.
The guard seemed embarrassed, not quite sure how to handle the difference of opinions. He won't have to guard my family long, I said, hoping to break some tension. Let them know I'll be home soon. The guard's eyes flickered between Maxon and me, looking to confirm that I'd been eliminated. Maxon simply nodded once.
Yes, miss,
the guard said with a bow. Maxon interjected.
Is my mother in her room? Yes, sir. Tell her I'm coming. You're dismissed.
We were alone again. Maxon took my hand in his.
Don't rush away. Say goodbye to your maids and any of the girls if you want. And eat something. I know how you love the food.
I smiled. I will. Maxon wet his lips, almost fidgeting. This was it. This was goodbye.
You've changed me forever, and I'll never forget you.
I ran my free hand down his chest, straightening his coat. Don't tug your ear with anyone else.
That's mine.
I swallowed. I need to go. He nodded. Maxon kissed me once, quickly on the lips, and ran down the hall. I watched until he was out of sight, and then made my way back to my room. Each step up the main stairwell was torture, both because of what I had left and what I feared was coming. What if I rang the bell and Lucy didn't come, or Mary, or Anne? What if I looked at every face of every guard I passed, and not a single one was Aspen's? I made my way to the second floor, passing destruction at every turn. It was still recognizable, the most beautiful place I'd ever seen, even in ruins. But the time and money it would take to restore this was beyond my imagination. The rebels were very thorough. As I got closer to my room, I heard the distinct sound of crying. Lucy. I let out a breath, happy she was alive, but terrified of what was making her cry. I braced myself and turned the corner into my room. Working with red faces and swollen eyes, Mary and Anne were collecting the shattered glass from the doors to my balcony. I watched as Mary had to stop mid-sweep to exhale and calm herself. In a corner, Lucy was weeping into Aspen's chest.
"Shh," he said, comforting her. "They'll find her. I know it."
I was so relieved I burst into tears. "You're okay. You're all okay." Aspen let out a huge sigh, his tight shoulders slumping as they relaxed. "My lady," Lucy said. A second later she was running for me. Not too far behind, Mary and Anne came, enveloping me in hugs. "Oh, this isn't proper," Anne said as she held me. "For goodness sake, give it a rest," Mary retorted. And we were so happy to be alive and safe that we laughed about it all. Behind them, Aspen stood, watching with a quiet smile, so clearly grateful to see me there. "Where were you? They looked everywhere." Mary pulled me over to the bed to sit, though it was a terrible mess, with the comforter shredded, the pillows stabbed, and leaking feathers. "In one of the safe rooms they missed. Maxon's okay too," I said. "Thank God," Anne said. "He saved my life. I was on my way to the gardens when they came. If I'd been outside..." "Oh, my lady," Mary cried.
"Don't you worry about a thing," Anne said.
"We'll get this room fixed up in no time, and we have a fantastic new dress once you're ready, and we can..."
"That won't be necessary. I'm going home today. I'll put on something simple and leave in a few hours."
"What?" Mary gasped. "But why?"
I shrugged. "It didn't work out." I looked up at Aspen, but was unable to read his face. All I could see was relief that I was alive.
"I really thought it would be you," Lucy said, "from the start. And after everything you said last night, I can't believe you're going home."
"That's very sweet, but it'll be all right. From here on out, anything you can do to help Chris, please do that. For me."
"Of course," Anne said. "Anything for you," Mary seconded.
Aspen cleared his throat. "Ladies, maybe you could give me a moment. If Lady America is leaving today, I need to go over some security measures. We didn't get her this far only to let someone hurt her now. Anne, maybe you could get some fresh towels and things. She should go home like a lady. Mary, some food?"
They both nodded.
"And Lucy, do you need to rest?"
"No," she cried, standing tall. "I can work."
Aspen smiled. "Very well.
Lucy, go to the workroom and finish that dress. We'll come help soon. I don't care what anyone says, Lady America. You're leaving in style," Anne said, addressing me at the end.
"Yes, ma'am," I answered. They left, closing the door behind them. Aspen walked over and I stood to face him. "I thought you were dead. I thought I'd lost you."
"Not today," I said, smiling weakly. Now that I saw how bad it was, the only way to stay calm was to joke about it.
"I got your letter. I can't believe you didn't tell me about the diary."
"I couldn't." He bridged the space between us and ran his hand down my hair.
"Mare, if you couldn't show it to me, you really shouldn't have tried to show it to the country. And the caste thing? You're crazy, you know that?"
"Oh, I know." I looked at the ground, thinking over all the insanity of the last day.
"So Maxon kicked you out because of that?"
I sighed. "Not exactly. The king's the one sending me home. If Maxim proposed to me this very second, it wouldn't matter. The king says no, so I'm going.
Oh, he said simply. It's going to be strange without you here.
I know, I said with a sigh.
All right, he promised quickly. And I can send you money if you want. I've got plenty. We can get married right when I come home. I know it's going to be a while.
Aspen, I said, cutting him off. I didn't know how to explain that my heart had just been crushed. When I leave, I want some peace, okay? I need to recover from all this.
He stepped back, offended. So what? Do you not want me to write or call?
Maybe not right away, I said, trying to make it sound like it wasn't a big deal. I just want to spend some time with my family and get my bearings again. After everything I've felt here, I can't...
Wait, he said, holding up a hand.
He was silent for a moment, reading my face.
You still want him, he accused. After everything he's done, after Marley, and even when there's absolutely no hope, you're still thinking about him.
He never did anything, Aspen. I wish I could explain about Marley to you, but I gave my word. I have no hard feelings toward Maxon, and I know it's over, but it's the same way I felt when you broke up with me.
He scoffed incredulously, rolling his head back like he couldn't believe what he was hearing.
I'm serious. When you ended it, the selection became my lifeline, because I knew I'd at least have some time to get past what I felt for you. And then you showed up here, and everything shifted. You were the one who changed us when you left me in the treehouse. And you keep thinking that if you push hard enough, you can make everything go back to before that moment. It doesn't work that way. Give me a chance to choose you. As the words came out of my mouth, I knew that this was so much of what was wrong. I'd loved Aspen for so long we just assumed a lot of things. But everything was different now. It wasn't like we were still two nobodies from Carolina. We'd seen too much to pretend we would ever happily be those people again.
Why wouldn't you choose me, Mare? Aren't I your only choice?
He asked, sadness dripping into his voice. Yes. Doesn't that bother you? I don't want to be the girl you end up with because my only other option isn't available and you never looked at anyone else. Do you really want to get me by default? He spoke intensely.
I don't care how I get you, Mare.
Suddenly he charged at me, taking my face in his hands. Aspen kissed me fiercely, willing me to remember what he was to me. I couldn't kiss him back. When he finally gave up, he pulled back my head, trying to read my face.
What's happening here, America?
My heart is breaking. That's what's happening. How do you think this feels? I'm so confused right now, and you're the only thing I have left, and you don't love me enough to let me breathe. I started crying, and he finally calmed down.
I'm sorry, Mare, he whispered. It's just, I keep thinking I've lost you for some reason or another, and it's my instinct to fight for you. It's all I know how to do.
I looked at the floor, trying to pull myself together.
I can wait, he promised. When you're ready, write me. I do love you enough to let you breathe. After last night, that's all I need you to do. Please, breathe.
I walked into him, letting him hold me, but it felt different. I'd thought I would always have Aspen in my life, and for the first time I wondered if that was completely true. Thank you, I whispered. Stay safe here. Don't be a hero, Aspen. Take care of yourself. He stepped away, giving me a nod but no words. He kissed my forehead and made his way to the door. I stood there for a long time, not sure what to do with myself, waiting for my maids to come and pull me together one last time. Chapter 31. I tugged at my dress. Isn't this a bit grand for the occasion? Not at all, Mary insisted. It was late afternoon, but they'd put me in an evening gown. It was purple and very regal. The sleeves went to my elbows, as it was colder back in Carolina,
and a sweeping hooded cape was draped over my arm for when I landed. A high collar would protect my neck from any wind that might come, and they pulled up my hair so elegantly. I was positive this was the prettiest I'd ever looked at the palace. I wished that I could go to see Queen Amberlee, sure that even she would be impressed. "I don't want to linger," I insisted. "It's hard enough to go as it is. I just want you all to know that I'm so grateful for everything you've done for me. Not only for keeping me clean and dressed, but for spending time with me and caring about me. I'll never forget you."
"And we'll always remember you, miss," Anne promised.
I nodded and started fanning my face.
Okay, I've had enough tears for one day. If you could tell the driver I'll be right down, I'm going to take a moment."
"Of course, miss."
"Is it still improper for us to hug?" Mary asked, looking at me and then Anne.
"Who cares?" she said, and they crowded around me one last time.
"Take care of yourselves."
"You too, miss," Mary said.
"You were always a lady," Anne added.
They stepped away, but Lucy held on.
"Thank you,"
she breathed, and I could tell she was crying.
"I'll miss you."
"Me too." She let me go, and they walked to the door, standing together in a group. They gave me one last curtsy, and I waved as they left me alone. So many times in the last few weeks I had wished I could leave. Now that it was here, seconds away, I was dreading it. I walked onto the balcony. I looked down at the gardens, gazing at the bench, the spot where Maxon and I had met. I didn't know why, but I suspected he'd be there. He wasn't, though. He had more important things to do than to sit around thinking about me. I touched the bracelet on my wrist. He would think about me, though, from time to time, and that comforted me. No matter what, this was real. I backed away, closing the door, and heading to the hallway. I moved slowly, taking in the beauty of the palace one last time, even though it was slightly marred by broken mirrors and chipped frames. I remembered walking down this grand stairwell the first day, feeling confused and grateful at the same time. There were so many girls then. When I reached the front doors, I paused for a moment. I'd gotten so used to being behind those massive blocks of wood that it almost felt wrong to go through them. I took a deep breath and reached for the handle.
"America?"
I turned. Maxon was standing at the other end of the corridor.
"Hey,"
I said lamely. I hadn't thought I'd get to see him again. He walked over to me quickly.
"You look absolutely breathtaking."
"Thank you." I touched the fabric of my last dress. There was a breath of silence as we stood there, watching each other. Maybe that's all this was. A last chance to see. Suddenly he cleared his throat, remembering his purpose.
"I've spoken with my father."
"Oh?"
"Yes. He was quite happy that I wasn't killed last night. As you might have guessed, carrying on the royal line is very important to him. I explained to him that I nearly died because of his temper, and attributed my finding a hiding place to you."
"But I didn't."
"I know, but he needn't."
I smiled.
"I then told him that I set you straight on some behavioral things. Again, he needn't know that's untrue, but you could act like it happened, if you wanted."
I didn't know why I would need to act like anything happened when I would be on the other side of the country, but I nodded.
"Considering that I owe my life to you, as far as he knows, he agreed that my desire to keep you here might be somewhat justified, so long as you were on your best behavior and could learn your place."
I stared at him, not completely sure I was hearing this right.
"Really, the fair thing to do is let Natalie go. She's not cut out for this, and with her family grieving right now, her home is the best place for her. We've already spoken."
I was still dumbstruck.
"Shall I explain?"
"Please." Maxon reached for my hand.
"You would stay here as a member of the selection, and still be a part of the competition. But things will be different. My father will probably be harsh towards you and do whatever he can to make you fail. I think there are some ways to fight that, but it will take time. You know how ruthless he is. You have to prepare yourself.
I nodded. I think I can do that.
There's more.
Maxon looked to the carpet, trying to align his thoughts.
America, there's no question that you've had my heart from the beginning. By now you have to know that.
When he brought his eyes up to mine, I could see it in every part of him and feel it in every piece of me.
I do. But what you do not have right now is my trust.
I was stricken.
What? I've shown you so many of my secrets, defended you in every way I can. But when you aren't pleased with me, you act rashly. You shut me out, blame me, or most impressively, try to change the entire country.
Ouch, that was pretty rough.
I need to know that I can depend on you. I need to know that you can keep my secrets, trust my judgment, and not hold things back from me. I need you to be completely honest with me and to stop questioning every decision I make. I need you to have faith in me, America.
It hurt to hear all of that, but he was right. What had I done to prove to him that he could trust me? Everyone around him was pulling or pushing him into something. Could I just be there for him? I fiddled with my hands. I do have faith in you, and I hope you can see that I want to be with you. But you could have been more honest with me, too.
He nodded. Perhaps. And there are things I want to tell you. But many of the things I know are of such a nature that they cannot be shared if there's even a minuscule chance that you can't keep them to yourself. I need to know that you can do that. And I need you to be wholly open with me.
I inhaled to respond, but it never came out.
Maxon, there you are, Chris called, rounding the corner. I didn't get to ask you earlier if we were still on for dinner tonight.
Maxon looked at me as he spoke.
Of course, we'll eat in your room.
Wonderful. That hurt. America, are you really leaving? She asked, coming up to us.
I could see the spark of hope in her eyes. I looked to Maxon, whose expression seemed to say, This is what I'm talking about. I need you to accept the consequences of your actions, to trust me to make my own choice.
No, Chris, not today.
Good. She sighed, coming to hug me. I wondered how much of this embrace was for Maxon's sake, but really, it didn't matter. Chris was my toughest competition, but she was also the closest friend I had here.
I was really worried about you last night. I'm glad you're okay.
Thanks, it was lucky. I almost said that it was lucky I had Maxon to keep me company, but bragging would have probably ruined what little bit of trust I'd built in the last 10 seconds. I cleared my throat. Lucky the guards got there so fast.
Thank goodness. Well, I'll see you later.
She turned to Maxon.
And I'll see you tonight.
Chris skipped down the hall, giddier than I'd ever seen her. I guess if I saw the guy I loved put me above his former favorite, I'd feel like skipping too.
I know you don't like that, but I need her. If you let me down, she's my best bet.
It doesn't matter, I said with a shrug. I won't let you down. I gave him a quick kiss on the cheek and headed upstairs without looking back. A few hours ago, I thought I'd lost Maxon for good. And now that I knew what he meant to me, I was going to fight for him. The other girls wouldn't know what hit them. As I made my way up the grand stairwell, I felt encouraged. I probably should have been more worried about the challenge that was ahead of me, but all I could think of was how I'd eventually overcome it. Perhaps the king sensed my joy, or maybe he was just waiting. But as I stepped onto the second floor, he was there, halfway down the hall. He approached me slowly, a clear display of control. When he stopped in front of me, I curtsied.
Your Majesty, I said.
Lady America, it seems you're still with us.
So it does.
A pack of guards passed us, bowing as they did so.
Let's talk business, he said sternly. What do you think of my wife? I pursed my forehead, surprised at the direction of the conversation. Still, I answered honestly. I think the Queen is amazing. I don't know enough words to say how wonderful I think she is. He nodded.
She's a rare woman. Beautiful, obviously, and also humble. Timid, but not to the point of being cowardly. Obedient, good-humored, an excellent conversationalist. It seems that even though she was born into poverty, she was meant to be a queen.
He paused and looked at me, taking in the clear admiration on my face.
The same cannot be said of you.
I tried to stay calm as he continued.
Your looks are average, red hair, a bit pale, and I suppose a decent figure, but you're nothing next to Celeste. As for your temper,
he inhaled sharply.
You're rude, jocular, and the one time you do something serious, it tears at the fabric of our nation. Completely thoughtless. And that's not even counting your poor posture and gait. Chris is far lovelier and more agreeable.
I pushed my lips together, willing myself not to cry. I reminded myself that I already knew all this.
And, of course, there is absolutely no political advantage to having you in the family. Your caste isn't low enough to be inspiring, and your connections are non-existent. Elise, however, was very helpful with our trip to New Asia.
I wondered how true that could be if they never actually made contact with her family. Maybe there was something going on that I simply didn't know about. Or maybe all of this was being exaggerated to make me feel worthless. If that was the goal, he'd done an excellent job. His cold eyes focused on mine.
What are you doing here?
I swallowed. I suppose you would have to ask Maxon.
I'm asking you.
He wants me here, I said firmly. And I want to be here. As long as both of those things are true, I'm staying. The king grinned.
You're what? 16, 17?
17.
I suspect you don't know very much about men, which you shouldn't if you're here. Let me say they can be very fickle. You might not want to hold on to your affection for him so tightly when a single moment could take his heart away for good.
I squinted, unsure of what he meant.
I have eyes all over this palace. I know there are girls offering him more than you'd dream. Do you think someone as plain as you could stand a chance next to them?
Girls, as in plural? Was he saying that more than what I'd seen in the halls between Maxon and Celeste was happening? Were our hours of kisses last night tame compared to everything else he was experiencing? Maxon had said he wanted to be honest with me. Was he keeping this a secret? I had to decide in my heart that I trusted Maxon. If that's true, then Maxon will let me go in his own time, and you have nothing to worry about.
But I do,
he bellowed, then dropped his voice.
If by some act of stupidity Maxon actually chooses you, your little stunts would cost us everything. Decades, generations of work gone because you thought you were being a hero.
He got in my face to the point that I actually took a step back, but he came closer, leaving very little space between us. His voice was low and harsh, and far more frightening than when he was yelling.
You're going to need to learn to hold your tongue. If not, you and I will be enemies. Trust me when I say that you do not want to be my enemy.
His angry finger was pointing into my cheek. He could rip me to shreds right now. Even if there was someone nearby, what would they do? No one was going to protect me from the king. I tried to sound calm. I understand.
Excellent, he said, suddenly turning cheerful. Then I'll leave you to settle back in. Good afternoon.
I stood there, only realizing once he left that I was shaking. When he said to keep my mouth shut, I assumed that meant not even thinking of mentioning this to Maxon. So, for now, I wouldn't. I was betting this was a test to see how far he could push me. I willed myself to be unbreakable. As I thought it, something in me changed. I was nervous, yes, but I was also angry.
Who was this man to order me around? Yes, he was king, but really, he was just a tyrant. Somehow he'd convinced himself that by keeping everyone around him oppressed and quiet, he was doing us all a favor. How was it a blessing to be forced to live in a corner of society? How was it good that there were limits for everyone in Ilia but him? I thought of Maxon sneaking Marley into the depths of the kitchens. Even if I wasn't here for very long, I knew he would do a better job than his father. Maxon, at least, had the capacity for compassion. I continued to breathe slowly, and once I felt composed, I carried on. I walked into my room and scurried over to press the button that sent for my maids. Faster than I could have imagined, Anne, Mary, and Lucy came running breathlessly into my room. "My lady," Anne said, "is something wrong?" I smiled. "Not unless you think me staying is a bad thing." Lucy squealed. "Really?" "Absolutely." "But how?" Anne asked. "I thought you said..." I know, it's hard to explain. All I can say is that I've been given a second chance. Maxon matters to me, and I'm going to fight for him." "That's so romantic," Mary cried, and Lucy started clapping her hands. "Hush, hush," Anne called out sternly. I thought she would be excited and didn't understand her sudden seriousness. "If she's going to win, we need a plan." Her smile was diabolical, and I grinned with her. I'd never met anyone as organized as these girls. If I had them, there was no way I could lose. End of book two. This is Amy Rubinate. We hope you have enjoyed this unabridged production of The Elite by Kira Cass. This program was produced by Elgin Productions. The director was John McElroy. Executive producer, Caitlin Gehring. Text copyright 2013 by Kira Cass. Production copyright 2013 by HarperCollins Publishers. All rights reserved. Thank you for listening.